Welcome back. This is the Maggie Dodd Show on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska, the sports director here at Civic Media, filling in today. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Jess P.S. will be guest hosting the Dominic Salvia Show. Stay tuned for that. I'm once again rejoined by Mark Sommerhauser. He's the communications director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. And I want to put a bow on this discussion on school referendums, because I think the summary written by your colleagues that did the report on this, I think really summed up kind of the state of things. It's a really complicated mess of things, right? There's a whole bunch of factors into it. But I think the part that really stands out to me is that there is some consequence to this all, right? So if schools aren't adequately funded, you know, there are things in play, like the inability to hire or retain staff, or in one district's case, in southwestern Wisconsin, talking about dissolving their district entirely. And I find this that when we get to this point in terms of policy, in terms of, you know, where we go with funding things, we have to understand that, you know, there's decisions that are made, you know, at all levels. But when we get down to it with school funding, that, you know, with so many districts asking funding, I think the conclusion drawn, and as it's written on the page here for Wisconsin Policy Forum, that there's a lot of pressure, not just on voters to help fund schools, but, you know, just about everything going on right now in government, not just school districts, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And, you know, we've seen both in school districts, but also in local government, cities, villages, towns, counties, they've been dealing with a lot of these same cost pressures that school districts have. Now, they're in a little different situation in that in the last budget, the state did pass a pretty historic increase in shared revenue, which is the state's main form of aid to cities, villages, towns, and counties. And so, you know, a number of them are seeing a significant increase in their state aid. Although some are seeing a much bigger increase than others. But, you know, for school districts, I think they're in a little bit of a different spot of saying, you know, we did not see an increase in those revenue limits 2 years ago. We did see somewhat of an increase in the most recent budget, but, you know, a lot of them are feeling like they still are not, collecting the revenues that they need to operate in the way that they want to operate. The other piece of these referenda, too, is that you can kind of divide them into two buckets. Some of them are for operating costs for the district, but then some of them are for capital projects. And, you know, a lot of these school districts have facilities that were built during the baby boom, right, in the 50s and 60s and 70s to accommodate, you know, the significant increase in school pupils that we saw during that period. But a lot of those facilities now are reaching the point where they either need a large investment to renovate them, or in some cases, there's proposals to replace them. So, you know, that's the other piece of this, is that for some districts, there's pressures for the operating costs. For other districts, there's really a push to have new or renovated schools that are kind of spurring some of these referendum questions.
And of course, you know, the consolidation of schools too, and not necessarily district consolidation, but, you know, just in school buildings. I know Madison, a big part of their ask in this last, just as an example, was that they needed to, you know, they needed fewer buildings. La Crosse, same thing. They needed fewer buildings because of declining enrollment. And I think that's the part that a lot of legislators will point to if they're maybe not all in on increasing the, you know, per pupil or increasing the funding for public education. They'll point to the enrollment figure and say, well, there's fewer students, so why is there a need for more money? And schools usually counter with things like, well, you know, cost of people and the cost of keeping the lights on is also increased at the same time. So if budgets remain flat or decrease, it's harder to serve that purpose. I'm, you know, just to wrap up a final thought on this, Mark, where do you, you know, where do we see, you know, policy-wise things maybe happening in this next cycle that maybe address school referendum funding? Because as we've talked about, it is a very hot topic, not just for people that are involved in education, but I think just about every legislator has at this point heard enough about it that they're researching and dealing with this topic head on themselves.
Yeah, I think, I mean, both things that you just said here a moment ago are correct, in that the broad trend statewide is of declining enrollment. And so it's reasonable for some folks who are a little more skeptical of these referenda to point to that and say that, you know, hey, you know, in many districts, perhaps in the district that the voter is in, there's fewer students. But as you said, also, it's also true that the school district can kind of counter to that and say, well, you know, the cost of just about everything has increased very dramatically over the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, a modest enrollment decline does not necessarily mean that the district's costs just to continue doing what they're doing have declined. In many cases, they have increased. I think, you know, the first the first debate that's going to need to be had is within the next state budget, which is going to, you know, that debate is going to start to happen early next year. That's for the 2 year, the state budgets go in 2 year cycles. So it'll be for the 2 year starting on July 1st of next year. And that's going to be, I think, a very vigorous debate because, again, you know, traditionally the state has not had a surplus. Traditionally, it's the other way around. And the state is, you know, dealing with the deficit. So the fact that there's a large surplus this year is quite historically unusual. And I think schools and many other stakeholders are going to see this as kind of an unusual opportunity to get a funding increase while the state actually has money to do that. But, you know, the state has to balance that against the many other, you know, services that it funds. And the fact that while it has a lot of money in the bank right now, that's one-time money. You know, that's not money that it can count on collecting that much in surplus year after year. That's money that it has in hand at the moment. But, you know, the state obviously has to be careful not to overcommit itself beyond the revenues that it could project to take in over the next few years. And when you increase aid to schools, you can't really pull that back without really angering a lot of people. So I think the state will want to be careful to keep that in mind as well when that debate is being had.
Mark Sommerhauser from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Mark, you've been extremely generous with your time talking about a very complicated subject. I appreciate all of your time and insight on this. Thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Mark. And that'll do it for me. I'm Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media's sports director. Turning it back over now to our producer, Jess P.S. We'll take you through the Dominic Salvia Show, which comes your way next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody.